I am so thankful to hear so many good reports of all the different ways that God has been using the messages of this series that we've been in called Almost There. And I want you to know that what we teach here at Crosspoint week to week is in response to what God has been laying on my heart for this community and this church. That is something that we take very seriously here at Crosspoint Church. In a time when so many people are asking so many questions right now, and so many people are viewing things and approaching life and the goodness of God in a different way than we did even a year ago, right? And many are struggling with things that they've never struggled with, asking questions they never thought that they would be asking, wrestling with things they never thought that they would wrestle with. And so we're in this series of messages that we're calling Almost There. And whether you have been a follower of Christ for most of your life, or you're just beginning to consider that Jesus is who he says he is, wherever you fall on that line, we believe that this series is for you. Week one, we looked at three phases of believing in and knowing and following Jesus, and we built the foundation for the series that we're in. Last week, we talked about the good news and the bad news of Jesus and religion. Today I want to talk to those who believe in God, those who follow God, but maybe you struggle to trust him fully. Like, we follow God, but we hesitate to say, God, I trust you with every aspect of my life. In fact, how many of you would say, just a show of hands, we had a fun time raising hands last week. How many of you would say that you like to be in control? Raise your hand if that is you. See, some of you don't want to raise your hand because that would be submitting to my control, and you want to be the one in control, so you're not raising your hand right now, right? How many of you, if you're watching TV, you have to be the one holding the remote control? If that's you, raise your hand. If the person sitting next to you is that person and they're not raising your hand, you go ahead and raise your hand right now. All right. How about driving somewhere? And I'm not going to ask if you have to be the one driving. That is too easy. But if you're in the car and you have to be the one in control of the heat and the air conditioning, raise your hand. All right? It doesn't matter who's driving. The person who has control of the climate in the car, that's the person who's really in charge. Some of us say, or maybe we don't say, but we feel it. We say, I believe in God, but I struggle to surrender everything to him. There's some things that I still want to control. And so to dive into this message today, I want to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23. And when God's people are about to cross the Jordan River to go into the promised land, but God wanted them to understand that they were not receiving this blessing because they were good or they deserved it. Okay? They were receiving this because God was the one who was good. Okay, here's how the story goes. Verse 23, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, he said, go up and possess the land I have given you. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. He says, you did not what? There's two things. You did not believe or obey him. So you didn't trust God fully or do what he was leading you to do. You didn't trust him and you didn't fully obey him. The problem for so many of us is that we have what you could call a partially surrendered life. Okay? We're going to give God some parts of our lives, but we're not going to trust him with everything. Right? And that's where we were at in the book of Deuteronomy. I think of the weirdest thing that you have to have control over, okay? For me, For me, it's the research of things that are brought into my house, okay? Follow me on this. Even toys that my kids want, like, I have to make sure that we've all thought through all of the details to make sure that we are getting the best possible bang for the buck, okay? So I want you to think through the weirdest thing that you have to have control over. You may be thinking about mine, like, isn't that actually a wise thing to do? You could say that, but probably not the way that I do it. The way I do it, you could maybe consider it to be an illness. Like, I will obsess over something, and I'm not even the one who wants it, okay? But, you know, I also, at the same time, I don't want my oldest son wasting his hard-earned money on a PlayStation when the research indicates that the Xbox is where he should be spending his money. And so what I want you to do, if there's another person in the room with you, you can turn to the person next to you and tell them the weirdest thing you have to have control over. Chances are they probably already know that about you, and they might actually have something weirder to suggest to you, but this tends to bleed into our spiritual lives, okay? There are things that, you know, it's not hard, it's not difficult for us to trust God with, and there's some other things that are like seemingly impossible for us to trust him with. In fact, there are some scripture verses that we'll read, and it just seems more like a pipe dream than anything else. Verses like Proverbs 3, right? And we'll look at this a couple times today. Proverbs 3, and we've looked at this before. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight." And we'll read a passage like this. We'll pick on this one in particular. And we'll internalize that, right? And when we internalize it, we'll respond more like it says, trust the Lord your God with some of your heart. Rely on your own understanding. In some of your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight enough, right? It's like we're settling for the store brand, so to speak. Without saying, we'll say, God, I will give you some things, but I'm not going to give you everything. In some way, I bet that defines almost every single one of us. I'll give you some things of my life, God, but I'm not going to give you everything that I am. I'll give you an hour on Sunday morning, but the rest of my day, the rest of my week belongs to me. God, I'm going to trust you with my salvation. I need your forgiveness. Frankly, I want to go to heaven, but the kids and their future, their agenda is really, it's set by me. And we probably don't say it like that to God, but that's where our heart ends up lining up. We say, that's mine. Like, here's the thing. God has a purpose for us. And we will never fully experience that purpose if we're always holding back. If you hold anything back from God, you'll notice that you will come to a block wall in your faith journey. We always will. It even goes for what we think. Like God, I believe that you listen to their prayers, right? But I'm not convinced that you hear mine. I believe that you're a God of grace, but sometimes I don't feel like that mercy necessarily applies to me. I trust you, God, with some things. I'm almost there. I believe you, God, but I cannot trust you completely. A few weeks ago, I was telling you about my love for extreme sports, or they refer to them more formally as action sports these days. And there was a guy who lived in the 1800s, and you could say he was probably one of the original action sports athletes. His name was Charles Blondin, and here's a picture of him. In 1859, so like 150, 160 years ago, in 1859, Charles was the very first person to cross the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Now, this is 160 feet above the water and about 1,100 feet across, okay? The first accomplishment of its kind was set by this individual. He tightropes across Niagara Falls, and when he does this, everybody goes crazy. He has done it. He has accomplished it. And so now he gets to the other side, and he's like, well, I got to do it again, but we got to kick it up a notch, right? This time I'm going to do it on stilts. And can you imagine walking across a tightrope at all, but then being like, you know what, too easy. Let's go with stilts. You know, let's make it interesting at least. Next, after that, he goes across in a gunny sack. And if that's not impressive or crazy enough, one time he goes out onto the tightrope, he bends down, and he cooks an omelet. And then he eats the omelet. And then he decides, you know what, let's just keep on going on this train of thought. And he pushes a wheelbarrow, a fully loaded wheelbarrow across. And the wheelbarrow has a full load in it. Gets to the other end, the crowd goes wild, right? And then he goes, who thinks I could push this wheelbarrow across with a human in it? And they're all like, yeah, that'd be awesome. And everybody's cheering. And he goes, great. Who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? And the crowd goes silent, right? I believe you can. Don't get me wrong. I think it'd be pretty cool. But I don't believe you enough to actually get in the wheelbarrow. Now, we've read about Peter in the boat before, right? You've read about it. You've studied about him. And Peter gets out of the boat. He steps out onto the waves and the wind. And he has this moment with Jesus. And we read about stuff like that. And it's like, man, like I want to have a miraculous life like that. I want to experience the power of God, but most of us, I would say, are probably a little bit too freaked out to actually get out of the boat. Like, I want to walk on water, but I'm not getting out of the boat, right? God, I'll trust you with some things, but I'm not going to trust you with everything. And here's the thing. If you're finding yourself in this message at all, I want to encourage you. You're not alone in your faith struggles, okay? You're not. In Mark's gospel, we have a story of a dad who brings his son to Jesus to be healed, and his son was possessed by a demonic spirit. In fact, the disciples, they try to cast this demon out, but they're unable to do it. And so Jesus was somewhat frustrated with their lack of faith, their lack of trust in him. And the dad brings the boy to Jesus, and he's like, your guys couldn't do this. And he says in Mark 9, verses 22 through 24, he says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus looks at him, and it's like he goes, I'm sorry. If you can do anything, like, you know who I am, right? Like, if you can do anything, like, I breathe galaxies into being with a whisper, and you're asking me if I can help your son. And he goes on to say, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the father of the boy cried out, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And I love this passage. You know why? My faith is imperfect. I have flaws in my level of trust for God. It's lacking. And I bet yours might be in a similar situation as mine. I love that in Scripture, God's word gives us permission to believe in God and yet ask him to help us where we don't or where we struggle. To ask him to help give me faith where I struggle to believe anybody but myself. He said, I believe, but would you help me with my unbelief? I want to trust you, and I sort of do, but I have a hard time trusting you completely. What I want to ask you today is I just want to ask you to get real honest, okay? I want you to call it out today. For every one of us listening today, that there is something that you are gripping, right? Something you are gripping and you just can't help but hold on to it and grip it. You can't seem to let it go. And so I don't want you to say it out loud, okay? That would be kind of awkward. But I do want you to write it down, okay? So right now, what I want you to do is I want you to grab a pen, some piece of paper, whatever you've got laying around, or you could even grab your phone and open a note app on there. I want you to write down this line. I struggle to trust God with blank. And I want you to fill in that blank with whatever you struggle to trust God with, the main primary thing. Whatever it is, for some of you, it's easy. It's your kids. It's their present situation. You know, the way that they're, you know, do we send them to school? Do we not send them to school? What are we going to do about their future? That sort of a thing. For some of you, you wake up every single day battling fear and anxiety. And you have a hard time believing that bad things aren't going to happen that day and that God is actually with you and that he actually does have a plan, right? For others, it's financial. One of the reasons that the Bible talks about money more than any other subject in our world is that it's one of the hardest things to trust anybody else with other than ourselves. It's the primary cause of conflict. It's the primary cause of divorce. It's like, I trust you, God, but I just can't release this to you. For others, it's the addiction that you think you can handle by yourself. And you know at the end of the day, you cannot. So the question is, what is it? Call it out. Write it down. Get a little bit courageous. Here's the thing. I believe with everything in me that honesty is the beginning of freedom. Honesty is the beginning of freedom. The Bible says that the truth of God will set us free. That's what God wants for us. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Yet so many of us are living, get this, in our own created prisons, holding back, hiding things from God that frankly he already knows that we're hiding. See, it's a lot bigger than just being like, God, I struggle to trust you here. Like when we look at this for what it actually is, we recognize this is a bigger deal than we might think. When I was going over this message, I was really praying through what it is for me. That when I look back on my own life, man, there have been seasons where I've struggled trusting God with pretty much everything. Every opportunity to say, God, I struggle with trusting you here. Just about every single one of them, I've experienced myself. There are times where my marriage years ago was almost falling apart. I struggled to trust God with that. There was a time that I struggled trusting God financially. But today, probably the biggest area right now that I struggle, and this is going to be a little bit vulnerable for me to share because I'm not quite there yet in what I'm about to talk about, but the biggest area that I have a hard time letting God do his thing in, honestly, is this place, the church. Like, I've been a pastor here for almost a year and a half now. I've been a full-time pastor for 12 years. I've never seen God do the kinds of things he's doing here. I've never seen God work the way that he's been working in this last year and a half. I love this church. I love it. I love it. You've got to know that what you share, when you share things with me about what's going on in your life, areas that I can pray for you in, I take that stuff home with me. It's not just like, yeah, sure, I'll pray for you, and then forget about it 15 minutes later. Sometimes the fact that I actually do care about this and love it so much, the danger becomes, like, I begin to think that I'm actually more essential to this church than I actually am. And one of the things that, just in this whole journey that I'm realizing, which is not a news flash to any of you, is that this is not my church, right? This is God's church. That as much as I love this church, this is God's church, and he loves this church much more than even I do. He cares about it more than I do. He has better plans for this church than I do. And I'm just in this process of saying, okay, I am part of what God's doing here, but I'm not essential to it. And that's a hard thing for me. But I'm in the journey of really letting God take over. And I want to challenge you, whatever it is that you've written on your line, have a little bit of, can I say, gut-level courage to get honest about it, to talk about it, and to do something about it, to give it to God. How do we, church, how do we develop a wholehearted trust in God, where we're not holding anything back? And so in the remainder of our time, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the same passage of Scripture that we opened up with, and I want us to look at it a little bit more closely right now. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with how much? With all your heart. And do not rely on your own understanding. And in how many ways? In all your ways, in every single one of them, every single struggle, in your job, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your hobbies, in all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. To apply the scripture to our lives, what we've got to understand is what does this actually mean? I think the most important word in this text is the word know. He says, in all your ways, know him, or some translations say, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That word, know, it comes from the Hebrew word, yada. Everybody, it's just fun to do this every once in a while. Everybody say it with me, yada. It's like ta-da, but with a Y, yada, right? So what does that mean? Well, let's look at it together. Yada means coming to know and be instructed by observing, reflecting, and experiencing. So trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Everything about your life and all your ways come to know and be instructed by observing and reflecting and experiencing Christ. That takes it a step further, doesn't it? Then he will make your path straight. He will not bring order to the chaos of your life until you yada him, until you really know him. And here's the thing, this know, to know God more, this word, it's not the same know that we would use intellectually, okay? It's not the word that would be used to say, I know that T-H-E spells the, or I know that 1 + 1 = 2. Totally different Hebrew word here, okay? This Hebrew word, yada, for know, it's the same word used in Genesis. It says that Adam knows Eve. It's intimate. It's an experiential knowledge that's based on the context of covenant and relationship. That when we yada, when we know God like that, say, God, I know you. I yada you. I know your heart for me. I know your grace for me. I know that I can trust you even more than I can trust myself. When I know him that way, he takes the decisions of our lives, the mistakes that we've made, the messiness of your journey, he makes it right. When we yada, when we know him. And here's what's funny. We have a tendency to want God to prove himself first, right? We want the guarantee. God, I want you to prove to me your faithfulness so that I can trust you, right? Don't we do that? God, will you just help me land this job? God, will you just help me get this promotion? God, will you just help me enter into this relationship? Then I can serve you. Then I can know you're kind of with me, right? I want you to prove yourself to me so that I can trust you. It's what we do with all of our human relationships, isn't it? I want to know that I can trust you before I'm going to choose to trust you. But it's not even trust. It's not. In fact, there's nothing in the Bible that says that this is the way that God works. Actually, everything in Scripture says that this is not how God works. See, we want God to prove himself so that we can trust him. What does God want? God wants us to trust him so that he can prove himself. It takes faith. In fact, Hebrews says faith is a confidence. It's that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. And you have to believe in that which you cannot prove. So it releases it to God and releases God to do what only God can do. You believe in what you cannot see so that God can then do the supernatural. We trust in faith and then God responds miraculously. Faith, though, always has to come first. Faith always comes first. It always comes first. God, unless I know exactly how this is going to turn, I'm staying right here on the solid ground that I know, right? This is kind of what we do. Unless I know exactly what you're going to do, God, if I confess this sin, I've got to know that I'm not going to lose my marriage over it, right? On the other side, it's simply not how it works, is it? I have to trust without necessarily seeing how the outcome is going to look. And it seems at times that's really difficult to do, isn't it? But if we yada him, the more we really get to know him like that, it's simply not as difficult. If you know him like that, we don't need to be able to see the end result first, because we know that he is with us. Here's the challenge. I want you to take a step. In the next 48 hours, whatever you wrote on that line, whatever your thing is, if it's finances, if it's kids, if it's your future, if it's their future, your health, whatever it is, I want you to take a step, one step, in the next 48 hours to begin releasing that to God. The moment you do that, when we choose to trust God, we discover some things. Three things about God, and you can write these three things down. The first thing we discover God's goodness. The moment you step out in faith and believe and give him your whole heart and your whole life, you're going to discover the goodness of God. Secondly, you'll discover firsthand God's love. That's when we start to see God's love. And finally, you're going to get to know God's faithfulness, that he is faithful. See, I told you earlier about this guy named Charles Blondin and how he went across Niagara Falls on a tightrope, even with a wheelbarrow full of potatoes. He went across. Who wants to see me push a person in this wheelbarrow across the Niagara? And everybody's cheering. Everybody believed. Who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? Silence. Eventually, though, in the crowd, they say you could hear the voice of one person who said, "I'll go." And he got in the wheelbarrow. See, there's a difference between the crowd and the guy in the wheelbarrow. In the crowd, on the sidelines, our trust level doesn't really matter. You get what I'm saying? But when we're in the wheelbarrow, halfway across the tightrope, the amount we trust the one in control, it matters. When we choose to trust God with that which we have a difficult time trusting him, and we venture out onto the rope, we see his goodness. We discover his love, that he's got this, and we discover his faithfulness on the other side. It was on the night, I'm going to pivot here, it was on the night Jesus was betrayed. I think his disciples were able to make a full, educated decision. When the rubber meets the road, do we trust Jesus fully? And so why don't you take out the communion elements that you set aside for this time? If you're not a follower of Jesus at this moment, you can feel free to skip this part if you choose to. What we're going to do is we're going to have a time for believers to do this in remembrance of Jesus, a sign of yada, knowing him. Whatever bread form that you have, this represents the body of Jesus, broken and crushed for you. The juice representing the blood of Jesus poured out once and for all for you is what we have in front of us, all right? And Paul reiterates the events leading up to that day in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. And we're going to read this together, and we're going to participate in communion together. Wherever you find yourself right now in this moment, let's just get ready for this together and read through the events of that night. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So you can take, eat, and be thankful. The passage continues. It says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So let's take, drink, and be thankful. Father God, we just want to thank you right now for the miracle of your word. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made that sealed the deal for us to be able to trust you completely and experience life to the full. And so, Lord, right now we thank you for your Holy Spirit that helps us bring understanding and application. And I pray in this moment that you would give us courage to be honest with ourselves and with you about where we may be holding back from full surrender of our trust to you. And Lord, I just want to say, we just want to say, Lord, we are sorry for those times that we're not trusting you fully. Lord, we know that trusting you completely is something you have commanded us to do, and that when we don't do that, we are committing a sin. And so, God, we ask you for forgiveness today. Lord, we know, we believe that you are powerful. We believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you have a purpose for all of our lives, that we can trust you with every area of our lives. And so, God, we believe, but help us, God, would you help us overcome those areas where we might struggle to believe, where we might struggle to trust you to have faith in whatever area it is. And so, God, I pray that you would go before us in these moments, in these coming days, especially over these next 48 hours. God, help us to begin taking those steps of releasing to you whatever that primary area is in which we struggle to trust you. God, I pray that we would see your faithfulness in these coming days. Lord, that we would see victory because we trusted you first before we acted. We trusted you first before you responded on our behalf, God, just like you called us to. And so we thank you, Lord. Pray that you would continually give us those gentle reminders that you are here with us, that you have got this. And so we thank you, Lord. We love you. And it's in your Son's holy name we pray. And all God's people everywhere said, amen. Listen, if you want to process any of this with us, we would love to have a conversation with you. If you have anything that we can be praying for you about, you can direct those prayer requests to us by either coming here and talking to us, or you can email us prayer@crosspointnd.com. If you are interested in beginning a relationship with Jesus, or just talking through more about what that means, that is one of our favorite conversations to have with a person, and we would love to set up a time to just chat with you more about that. So please don't hesitate if that's where you're at. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.